One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me tonight, it's Mark Schindler. Mark, what's up?
Man, not a whole ton. We had a kind of condensed slate today, but some fun games, man. How's everything on your end?
You know, I was at the Thunder Hornets game, and the vibes are not good, as they would say, after that game. We're not talking about that game off the top, though. We're going to talk about this Hawks-Cavs game, where the Hawks win in Atlanta 120-118. This was a really just kind of fascinating game to me. These are two teams in the East that are still kind of battling it out. The Hawks need to keep winning because the Toronto Raptors win tonight, and they have to keep pace with them. Because, I mean, this is something that I think is like under-talked about a little bit, the advantage that you have being in the eighth spot versus the ninth spot, which is where if the Hawks lose this game, they fall to ninth. And if that's where you end up ultimately, it's just one game and you get bounced. If you're 7-8, you get two chances at it. It is such a huge advantage to get two cracks at it being in that spot. And credit to Atlanta for staying in that eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. And I think some of that credit has to go to DeJounte Murray and Trae Young with the way that they played tonight. Quinn Snyder talked about it being connectivity between the two of them in the backcourt. And I think that it's really something that I think they can look back on and continue to build toward as they are playoff hopefuls.
Yeah, I think especially too, DeJounte late was really big for them. Trae struggled a little bit offensively. Obviously, you know, we got to the foul line, was really good as a passer, but didn't really have it going as a just with his actual scoring game.
Yeah,
I thought the biggest thing for me was just their bench. A lot of it too was just to be fair with the Cavs. Like Jared Allen was out.
Yeah,
Isaac Coro missed the game as well. But when you look at this top down, I think that's where it showed out. Like they out rebounded the Cavs by 11. And a lot of that was just, okay, well, when Evan Mobley was off the floor, they did not have the size to contend with them. I think you really saw that across the board in this one.
Yeah. And that you talked about the bench, and Onyeka Okongwu was just a beast tonight. Finished with 21 points, 9 boards, 11 of 12 from the free throw line for Okongwu. I mean, he and Sadiq Bey were a huge lift for them off the bench.
Yeah, no, 100%. And for the Cavs, too, like they, Ricky Rubio, who has had a pretty reduced role over the last month, played almost 20 minutes tonight. Like they, Mamadi Diakite was playing big minutes for them. Honestly, like their starting lineup was winning minutes. It was just, they really bled a lot from the bench. So, especially too, like Donovan Mitchell had a chance to tie late. He was really good in this game. Like he was just absolutely torching the Hawks defense late in the game. They still have a lot of things that they need to shore up on that end. I think you like exactly like you mentioned. I think you saw some glimpses of the Hawks putting some things together, but that defense is definitely a work in progress, and Donovan Mitchell showed us that. And shout out to Garland too. I think what's so difficult in that backcourt is with how good Donovan is, especially with what he does, you know, scoring in the fourth quarter and just in the clutch in general, it kind of overshadows how good Darius Garland's been this year. Like a guy that he's not going to make all NBA because Donovan has to make it most likely. And, you know, there's only five other spots from there, but I mean, he's been incredible this year.
Yeah, he does get overshadowed and was overshadowed tonight by Mitchell's 44-5-5. I mean, he was in that third quarter. He was kind of getting whatever he wanted at the rim. He had some just like crazy fun layups. He had a big monster's dunk. He's hitting from deep. I don't know about you, but I was holding my breath a little bit whenever he shot that ball from like near half court at the end of the game. I mean, it almost went down too. And if that went in, like I wouldn't have been shocked. That was just kind of the kind of night that he was having. But again, big time win for the Atlanta Hawks, who stay in eighth. The Cleveland Cavaliers sit at fourth in the Eastern Conference. Feels like that's where they're going to stay locked in moving forward. They have clinched a playoff spot, and it's still looking like it's going to be Knicks-Cavs, which is going to be a very, very interesting matchup.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started. Let's go to San Francisco, Chase Center, where the Golden State Warriors win this one 120-109. The Pelicans controlled a lot of this game, especially in the first half. And then the cheat code of Steph Curry was entered, and the Golden State Warriors actually pulled this one out.
Yeah, this one was, it was a fun game, but it was kind of like a tale of two halves. Much a basketball as a game of runs type game. Exactly like you mentioned, I thought like the entire first half I'm watching this and I'm like, you know, everything's just kind of clicking for the Pelicans. Honestly, most of their points are coming in transition and early offense because their defense was flying around and looked really good. They're really just not playing any guards like CJ McCollum and Josh Richardson are the only guards in the lineup right now with Jose out. And watching that it was just kind of a lethargic first half. You know, you're looking at this like even at home, Golden State can't put it together. And then midpoint of the third, it just, that was unreal. Steph was awesome. Obviously finished with 39-8-8 tonight. Was 8 of 15 from three. It just so much of the game, like they really only have two or three shooting threats on the floor, and all it takes is the movement and the way that they kind of ping pong around to make things happen, to open things up from deep or just off of split cuts to go towards the basket too, because they lost guys doing that as well. Off that too, you had Jordan Poole. Like as much as his passing and his defense can be so frustrating to watch at times, when he has games like tonight, you just kind of tip your hat. Cause exactly like you mentioned, like on top of what Steph is doing too, like you just add such a different dynamic and somebody who can obviously create from three, but also the way that he drove to the basket tonight, like he's so flexible in the way that he gets to the rim. It's so hard to guard someone like that. And that third quarter run was just kind of a nail in the coffin. Like I didn't really think that there was a lot that the Pelicans could do differently offensively with where they're at right now roster-wise. I think the biggest issue to me was just them on the glass. Like they could not afford to lose out. They tied in what it was rebounding-wise, but especially in the second half, it felt like they ended up really losing because of the offensive rebounds that they let up. Like Kevon Looney had two big rebounds back-to-back that sparked the run, honestly. That was first rebound, Steph three off the off second chance, second rebound, Steph three off second chance, and that tied the game, if I remember correctly, or brought it within one possession, and then it was just kind of from there, they really had no answer.
The Warriors need these wins. The Pelicans need these wins. The Pelicans' schedule is really, really rough from here on out. I mean, you just look through what they've got to get through to get to stay in the play-in. Right now, I believe they're at ninth in the play-in. I mean, they've got at Denver, against the Clippers, Kings, Grizzlies, Knicks, and Timberwolves. But that's how they finish their season. And so, I mean, if anybody's sitting around telling you that they know exactly how this Western Conference standings are going to end, I mean, there's just no way, man. Like, you look at it today. If you don't like it today, where it's Minnesota 7, New Orleans at 8, Lakers at 9, Thunder at 10, just wait a few nights because it's going to change. I mean, it's an insane Western Conference right now.
Yeah, no, it's been really wild to watch. And I do got to say shout out too to Trey Murphy. First of all, the Pelicans have played 14 games in March, including tonight, which that's brutal, but that's just a complete gauntlet. But Trey Murphy III is averaging almost 20 points per game in March, has scored double digits in every game except for the first one in March, which was the only game he didn't start.
Yeah.
They need his offense so much. Like, his growth has been really fun to watch. Like, he's showing more as somebody who can drive, somebody who can pass. Obviously, like, it's not just the shooting, but he's shooting like 9 threes a game and doing it incredibly well, of course. But it almost felt like they needed more of him tonight. Like, he only took 9 shots, and I felt like that wasn't enough in watching. Like, they're in a really interesting place with how much they're having to try and mix and match things. I'm really interested to see how they keep trying to put things together down the stretch. Because, again, like, even just watching that first half tonight or watching some of the other games of late, like, you see some of the glimpses of what it was early on in the year before the injuries, and you keep getting that thought in your head, like, well, you know, if Zion just comes back, and, you know, it's just, it's,
I know.
It's this team pulls at my heartstrings, man.
It's rough. The Hornets, the kind of Hornets, beat the Thunder tonight in Oklahoma City, 137 to 134. PJ Washington, boy, beginning of the fourth quarter. Going into the fourth quarter, PJ Washington had 21 points. You're like, man, he's having a really nice game. He finished with 43 points in this game. Some of it was that the Thunder just let him get hot at the start of the fourth, and he just could not be stopped. A lot of career highs tonight in that game. PJ Washington beat his career high of 42. Josh Giddey had a career high of 31 points. Giddey had never scored 30 in a game previously. And then Isaiah Joe, who's just continues to pour in points for the Thunder, had a career high 33 points. But the Hornets, PJ Washington and the G League Hornets figured out a way to get a win in OKC, a heartbreaker for the Thunder, who are still at 10th in the play-in but are really trying to climb in the standings. And that's a tough one. They didn't have Shea, but still a brutal loss. The Wizards beat the Celtics 130 to 111. Kristaps Porzingis was just a monster in this one, 32, 13, and 6. The Raptors get a much-needed win against the Heat to stay at 500, 38, and 38. They win 106 to 92. Scotty Barnes, big stat line, 22 points, 7 boards, and 12 assists to lead the way. And then finally, the Memphis Grizzlies. No John Morant tonight. No problem against the Orlando Magic. They win 113 to 108 in Memphis. And that is going to do it for today's show. Hoops Adjacent is up next. Mark, send us out.
Ding, ding, y'all.